right. And you are listening, in case you didn't realize, to WRFG 89.3 FM on your dial. My name is Greg Bossen, and welcome to Alternative Perspective. Perspectives, Atlanta's only local queer radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting Atlanta's queer community. I'm your host, Greg Bossen. Thank you for listening. And before we get to tonight's show, which is a doozy, we're going to be talking about gay pornography. Want to let you know, first of all, that the opinions expressed here are only those of myself and my guests and do not necessarily represent the opinions of the staff, the board, the volunteers, the funders, or anyone else involved with WRFG. So that's very important to understand. The other thing you want to understand is that we're going to be talking about some sensitive issues. So if you have children around and you don't want children to be listening to anything regarding the gay pornographic industry, then you should probably have them leave the room. So today I do have a friend with me, Bill Sims. Say hello, Bill.
Hello, Greg.
And move closer to the microphone.
I wouldn't miss it.
All right. So Bill is here because, well, he's a friend of mine. And so we like to make things more comfortable. Bill claims he knows absolutely nothing about pornography. Is that correct?
That is true.
Yes. And that is not true. All right. So before we get to our guests, and just to say, we definitely have a show that is going to pique your interest. Tonight, we are talking about the porn industry with the CEO and founder of a very well-known gay porn studio, along with one of his biggest stars. Before we go there, though, it's time for queer news of the world. So, Bill, are you listening?
Oh, yes.
And you need to be closer to the microphone. People need to know that you care. So we're going to start locally. So here's some news that might be of interest to you locally here in Atlanta. A bill that would make it easier for HIV-positive Medicaid recipients to receive the most effective medications may actually see a vote in the full Georgia House. State Representative Deborah Silcox, and are you ready for this, Bill, who's a Republican, shocking, from Sandy Springs, sponsored the legislation and called it the most fiscally responsible and humane way to treat HIV. So that's wonderful. The bill will allow physicians to get patients into treatment quickly and with the very most effective drug regimens possible. So I think that's awesome. So moving out a little bit, we have national news from West Virginia. Now, this isn't so good, all right? So we have a Republican lawmaker has given a threatening response when asked what he would do, and this was just a few days ago, if his kids were gay. Eric Porterfield, a Trump-supporting West Virginia lawmaker, was under fire this week. He has previously likened LGBT people to a terrorist group and or the Ku Klux Klan. Interesting. Actually, I think it's the Ku Klux Klan. Is that correct?
I'm glad to say I do not know.
Right. All right. So anyway, the Republican lawmaker basically grinned and said that he would see if his gay child could swim, which was basically a veiled attempt at drowning. A reporter asked what would happen if his son or daughter came out to him. And if it was the daughter, he said he would dress my daughter first, take her for a pedicure, get her nails done, and then see if she could swim. This is a legislator saying this. And then if it was his son, he would take him hunting, take him fishing, and then see if he could swim. Of course, he was wearing a MAGA hat. So now that's not very nice. But anyway, moving to a more happy area of the country, San Francisco. This is cool. The Contra Costa County Libraries hosted a drag queen story hour at the Brentwood Community Center on Monday, February 11th. When they posted news of the event ahead of time, they were bombarded with Facebook comments, some of which were positive, but many of which were critical. So they were a little concerned, and there was actually a small group of protesters that came that day, anti-LGBT protesters, but they were definitely outsized by a 500 people who showed up to attend the San Francisco drag-based Queen Story Hour. I'm trying to see, where's the... Yes, drag queen Bella Aldama read children's stories to the youngest girls.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. So international, got another piece of good news. In Germany, and this is it, a federal minister for Germany for health, oh boy, Jens Spahn, is seeking to ban conversion therapy. So homosexuality is not an illness, which is why it does not need to be treated, Spahn told the left-leaning Berlin daily publication Die Tageszeitung.
That's right. You got it.
How do you know whether that's right? that's why I'm in favor of a ban on conversion therapy. So I think that's really cool. So that is it for queer news of the world. And with that, we're ready to talk about gay porn. Now, are you ready for this, Bill?
I am ready.
Okay. So we have a couple of guests on with us, and we'll get to them in 1 second. But I do want to make sure that they can hear and be heard. So I'll introduce you guys in a second. I'm assuming that you're here. All right. So we're talking about gay porn, which is something that I know nothing about, which of course is not true. So even though in many quarters watching pornography is still looked upon with a certain degree of judgment, it is simply not possible, in my view, to have a radio show dedicated to the queer community and not acknowledge the role that pornography plays in the lives of at least gay men. So many of us first experienced our sexuality through the use of porn. And if you think about it, I did. Did you, Bill?
Yes, I learned everything from...
from porn?
From porn.
Everything about everything in life?
Pretty much.
Well, that explains a lot. Okay, and then unlike in the straight world, it is completely acceptable for a man that's part of a couple to continue to watch porn when not with his partner. Some even do it together. The sex industry is actually the largest and most profitable industry in the world. There are, now get these statistics, 13,000 adult videos are produced annually, amassing over $13 billion in profit. Now, by comparison, Hollywood released 507 movies, yet there were 13,000 adult videos. Every 39 minutes, a new porn film is created in the United States. At any second of the day, there are as many as 30 million unique visitors viewing porn. This means that right now, in this second, there are 30 million people viewing porn right now and not listening to us.
That's it.
Which I think is shocking. All right. Just about half the internet is made up of porn or porn-related content. There are over 68 million daily searches for pornography in the United States, which is about 25% of all daily searches. And if you're interested in the most searched term, you want to hazard a guess if you're looking for porn?
Oh, my God.
Well, one of our guests will be pleased to hear that, actually both of you will, that it's teen. Teen porn is, which that's somewhat unnerving, but anyway. 20% of American men admit they access porn at work, which coincides with the fact that, according to Sex Trackers, who tracks these statistics, 70% of all internet porn traffic occurring happens during the workday from 9 to 5.
They feel safer at work than at home.
Yes, I guess. And then this is my favorite of all. In 2013, researchers at the University of Montreal began a study attempting to compare the behavior of men in their 20s who viewed sexually explicit materials with those who had never looked at it at all. So they're trying to how does it change somebody if you look at porn versus if you don't? Well, the study had to be scrapped. Do you know why?
I do not.
They could not find anyone in their 20s that had not looked at porn. Okay. So now I do want to do a show on the efficacy of porn and how it impacts the lives of the queer community. But tonight's show is more about the logistics of the porn industry itself. Gay male porn, to be specific. How does porn get made? How long does it take to make a movie? How much is it like traditional productions, which it absolutely is? How much is it, are there women working in the gay porn industry behind the camera? Is there racism in the industry? We're going to be talking to the CEO of Helix Studios about this, but we're also going to be talking to one of the models, and we got a number of questions for him. What's it like to be a model the very first time you're being filmed? How do your families react? What happens after porn stars age out or retire?
Right.
So to help us answer these questions, as much as amongst others, we have Keith Miller, who is the owner and CEO of Helix Studios, one of the largest and most successful porn studios in the country, I think. And Keith has been in the industry for over 20 years. Keith, are you there?
I am.
Ah, that's a wonderful thing to hear your voice. And along with him, we have one of his most popular stars, Joey Mills. Joey's been doing movies for a little over 2 years, so he's fairly new in the industry, but he's also fairly prolific, and he seems to be extremely popular. Joey, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. All right. So I just want to make sure that everybody can hear you. So let's see. So how are you two doing? Very general question.
I'm doing pretty good today.
All right. You just got back in town. I think you were out of town, right? You were in Los Angeles?
Yeah. Up until today. I actually just drove back up today this morning.
Okay. If you could, just to make sure we can hear you, just if you could speak a little bit louder, that would be helpful, or a little bit closer to the phone, that would be great.
Okay.
That's awesome. Hey, no problem. Don't worry about it. All right. So let's see. So the first area that I want to talk about, and actually, you know, it's funny. I'm going to take one little quick break. We have to do a little announcement here. It's only going to take a second, and then we'll be back, and we'll start talking to Keith and Joey. We'll be right back. And I mean right back.
In February of 2017, community organization Haitian American Youth Reaching Out partnered with State Representative Erica Thomas and Governor Nathan Deal to celebrate the Haitian community and its contribution to the state of Georgia, declaring February 22nd Haitian Day in Georgia. In commemoration, the Haitian Experience and the Caribbean Running Show is hosting the richness of Haitian culture. There will be food, a display of Haitian art, music, and a dialogue of Haitian history. Friday, February 22nd, from 1 to 5 p.m. For more information, the phone number is 678-613-5590. Right here on WRFG 89.3 FM, WRFG.org, your listener-sponsored community radio station for progressive information and hand-picked quality music.
All right, and as promised, we are back. So if you are just tuning in, this is Alternative Perspectives. I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and we are speaking about the gay pornographic industry. I'm just going to say gay porn from now on. I think that's better. Do you agree?
I totally agree.
I still think you should be speaking louder.
It will save time.
Everybody should speak louder. All right. And we're speaking with the owner of Helix Studios, Keith Miller, and one of his star models, Joey Mills. So, Keith, I'm going to start with you, but Joey, I want you to chime in whenever you want to. So first, what I want to focus on is kind of like the making of movies itself. And Keith, I know we talked about this for a second, but I am kind of curious before we even get to that is how is it that you started in this career? Like what was the thing that caused you to go, you know what, I think I'm going to start doing this. How did that happen for you?
Well, quite honestly, I saw a article about a European young guy who had produced a couple of his own videos, put them on the internet, and made so much money that he paid for his college. That was at the very start of the whole internet, and so I said, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And next day I was filming stuff, and it turned into Helix.
Wow. And that was how many years ago?
That was 2001, so guess what, about 16, 17 years?
Wow. All right. Well, you've grown quite well. So I guess, you know, and actually, why do you think you've grown so quickly? What is it that you feel like that you are doing that's different? What is it that you're offering that's different, that's caused you to grow so quickly?
Well, I don't know that it's any different. 16 years, some people wouldn't say it's very quick.
Yeah, that's probably true. I had that thought.
16 years sounds more like we're figuring it out as we go along.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think one of the things on the success at this point is that we have such a collection of all-American boy next doors, the type that America loves and the world loves. You know, our model base and our regular cast members are of a quality and a level that large major studios in Hollywood would be pleased to have. And so I think it's matching, you know, the consumer need, their desire, and producing a product that they're proud to watch and support.
Yeah, all right. That sounds good. Yeah, and I mean, you didn't say this, but I think you might have, you did have your finger on the pulse of what people are wanting in ways that maybe other people didn't. So I think that might be true. Joey, why don't you tell us why it is that you chose Helix when we were talking before, and this kind of goes to my point.
One of the big reasons I chose Helix was originally just because it was one of the studios that I could go and work for, and they would take me as is. I didn't have to bulk up, didn't have to become the stereotypical gay porn guy. But once I worked with them, I mean, I liked the environment, so I stuck with it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, and now I think what I want to do is I'm just curious. I'd like you to, and this is kind of a big thing, Keith, but I want you to kind of walk me through a production and just kind of dispel some of the myths that people have around porn. They think it's just real easy. Anybody can just turn on a cell phone and take some video and you're done. But tell our listeners, like, what is involved with making this? Kind of walk us through the project, the timing it takes, and how it starts and how it ends, you know, going through it with us. I mean, does it start with an idea that you have like any other movie would?
Well, you know, it could be done either way. There's plenty of people these days that just take their phone, cell phone, and turn the camera on and produce stuff. But we found that when we've got the hottest models in the world, and consumers pay more for quality than they do for just the camera turned sideways. So what that means for us is we have script writers. We have people who try and set up the proper locations. We try and make sure that on big movies we'll go and cast or completely dress them from start to finish in outfits specific for the movie. So we do a lot that comes along with the regular movie industry. Some of the big things have big outdoor shoots, what we call B-roll or secondary action that's not sex. Some of that can take days to shoot. So we try and put a lot of production quality into our product to distinguish ourselves from just the cell phone camera that everyone has today. And that's why I think that, you know, our stars are recognized by the fans for all the hard work that they do and for the difference that makes. The consumer, like you said, they're very sensitive, and they pay for what they like.
Right.
And what they like is high quality, good product.
So, I mean, I guess just to kind of expand a little bit. So, there's a script. So, I mean, is this? I mean, and I confess, I haven't watched much. I've seen a little bit, but not much. But are there? There's because certain films are really full length movies with scripts. Is it plots? Are we, you know, I mean, how does that develop? I mean, is there a storyline, or is it, you know, how deep into a story do these movies go?
Well, let me just take an example. Our most recent video, a big movie that we did, was titled Vegas Nights. We started with the concept of we wanted to just to do a movie about Vegas, living in Vegas now. and Vegas Nights is always what happens when you're visiting for the first time and experiencing the wonderful sights and sounds. So the script for Vegas Nights is was 60-some pages long. The shooting took 2 or 3 weeks on location, outdoors, and tons of stuff. But we're now producing or we'll have a, I think it's a 45-minute R-rated cut version of it, which is acting, storyline, the whole concept of friends meeting up in Vegas, going out and partying, various locations. There's going to be a book that goes along with it that will be sold in addition to the Blu-ray or double DVD set collection with the director's outtakes. And we're working on a version being uploaded to popular streaming sites, which we've already been told is possible. So, you know, it's a far cry from some of the stereotypical things here of or understandings of, you know, the creepiness of porn, because this is now like a Hollywood production, but we didn't stop at the sex, we just kept on going.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, so is there rehearsal? Joey.
For the scenes themselves, no, there's not rehearsals. Or, I mean, while you're there filming for that day, they might, they'll walk you through stuff, but there's normally never any rehearsals.
So, but there's like, before you shoot a scene, there's a discussion about what they want to happen, when they want it to happen, that kind of a thing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, they run through the whole plot and what you're going to be doing and how, like, what it's going to look like in the end after all the editing's done. And that way you have, like, an idea of what you need to do. But rehearsals are normally... I feel like when they shoot for the rehearsals, like, us rehearsing, they shoot that also, I guess. If you would consider it that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so for the non-sexual parts.
All right.
Not really.
Okay. All right. And then, so you shoot. Now, just so I understand, because there, I know that there are also shorts that you film, which is kind of different from a movie. Is that right, Keith? That are just, you know, 15, 20-minute spots?
Yeah, they can be of varying sizes and lengths. You know, the big movies will go an hour and a half, 2 hours, but the regular scene, one-off scenes will be just more like, you know, 20, 30-minute productions.
And so you could conceivably... just film a short, or you could film a full-length movie, and because from that you also get short, so it's kind of like you get a lot of bang for your buck when you do
Correct.
A full-length movie.
Correct.
Okay.
It's just the packaging we put together. For
right, okay. And, like, do you know how many movies y'all filmed, or how many shorts and movies you filmed in 2018, just out of curiosity? I don't need an exact number.
Oh,
well, actually,
man.
I do. I need an exact number.
Exact numbers? Well, I was unprepared for that, but I can do some quick calculations.
No, that's okay.
We release on the site 3 scenes per week.
Ah.
And on another site, we have 2 scenes. So it's about 5 scenes per week, every week, all year. So that's 260 scenes a year. Which we're always at least 2 months ahead in production, so we have to film at least 260 to 300 scenes per year.
So by the time, so when you produce, from the time that you finish filming, it takes how long before it pops up on the site? 2 months, you said?
We don't like being out further than 45 days, something like that, because we need to have enough time to produce it, edit it, and get it ready for marketing, but we don't want it so far in advance that the model is no longer relevant in hair color model or social media appearance.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, do the models sign an exclusive deal with you? Is that, I mean, and you can tell me if this is beyond what you want to talk about on air, but can they shop around, or I don't know how, I think it's like go ahead.
The good ones sign exclusive.
Joey, did you sign an exclusive?
I did sign an exclusive. I think I signed the second time I came out to film, I think.
So you came out to film, you were there for a little while, then you went back home, and then you came back and signed a full deal.
Yeah.
And I assume you're splitting the profits 50-50, correct?
I get paid a scene rate.
I'm kidding. Keith is good. You know, everybody else is getting 50-50. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, all right. So Do the studios ever fight to sign an actor? Have you ever seen that, Keith? Where somebody leaves the studio and goes somewhere else?
Yes, I have. I mean, that happens at times. You know, if there's... 7 years ago, there were a larger number of studios in the marketplace than there are today, so there's much less competition today in terms of locations or opportunities for the model to film, although there's more personal opportunities than studios these days. But, you know, the good models are still sought after, just like any other industry or any other special skilled player.
Yeah, I would think so. And what about the off-camera talent? This is something that I was interested in because, I don't know, I would think it would take a certain amount of talent to be able to film in a way that highlights seductiveness or arousal. I mean, certainly in solo scenes, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the world is full of content being produced with that poorly. But the good producers are few and far between, and they're, you know, very important to come with, to come by, and to build with. Not everyone can take, you know, everyone can take a picture, but not everyone can take a good picture.
Right.
In any business.
Right. I'm getting a text from somebody that I don't know, something about Cobra videos, something about an owner being murdered. I don't know. Do you know anything about this, what this person's talking about? Brent Corrigan?
Yeah, I actually kind of do. That's not anything associated with us.
Right.
Back in 2006 or so, there was a film company by that name, and the owner was murdered in cold rage by another producer over a fight over a model. There's a movie made about it. You can, I think you can see it on Netflix. It's called King Cobra.
Wow. Okay. Well, that is...
But I was not involved in that in any way, shape, or form.
I think that was Bill, right? But Bill, weren't you involved with that?
Yeah, just the once.
Oh, just the once, though. You know, hey... It always had. Actually, it's a horrible thing. We shouldn't even be joking about it.
We should take that back.
Yeah, we should take that back. All right. So for those of you that are just tuning in, you are listening to Alternative Perspectives. I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and we are speaking about the gay porn industry today with the owner of Helix Studios, Keith Miller, and one of his star models, Joey Mills. And we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk with you, Joey, a little bit more about what the experience was like for you starting out and what it's been like over the last 2 years for you, which I'm sure it's been quite interesting. So we'll be back in just a shake. I love this song. Those of you that are just tuning in, this is 89.3 93.3 FM on your dial, WRFG, and you are listening to Alternative Perspectives. And we are talking about the porn industry with the CEO of Helix Studios, Kevin. Oh my God. Keith, your name is not Kevin. Your name is Keith. Keith Miller and then Joey Mills, one of his top porn stars. And I think that's fair for me to say. What do you think, Keith? You think he's one of your more popular ones?
Well, absolutely. He's very much one of my popular ones.
Yeah.
You know, we've even written a book about him. So, you know.
Really?
It's crazy, yeah.
All right. Okay. So, Joey, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever heard that song before? It's called Small Town Boy.
I have not, actually.
Okay. Something tells me you're a little bit younger than me. I'm not sure, but I think so.
Maybe just a little bit.
Maybe just a little bit. Yeah. So, and I wanted to bring it up because it's a song by Bronski Beat. It was popular in the 80s or the 70s.
Huge song.
Yeah. But it's all about like a small town boy who realizes he's gay, but he can't do anything in a small town. So he goes to the big city. And I don't know. It just made me think a little bit about your experience because I know you were, now St. Louis isn't exactly a small town,
right,
but it's not anything close to the life that you have now, I would imagine, right?
No, not at all. I actually grew up in a town about 30 minutes outside of St. Louis. Our population's like 7,000.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, so I definitely have the small town vibes, but just growing up in a small town and coming out, my town, I got lucky with it. I didn't get very much bullying or teasing, so I feel pretty lucky in that sense.
What were you, and I wanted to know, like, for people that are listening that, you know, are fans, I'm just kind of curious, like, how would you characterize yourself? And I hate that this happens when you're in high school, but, you know, people tend to click off into one group or another. So how would you have characterized yourself? A jock, a nerd, popular, quiet? What do you think?
Definitely the rebel.
A rebel.
Anything. Oh, for sure. I didn't want to do anything anybody told me to. I didn't want to listen to anybody. I wanted to be my own person. I thought I could go out and do it all on my own.
So you were not necessarily a straight-A student going to class all the time?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. Absolutely not.
I mean, were you present in school or not so much?
I was pretty present. I always had good attendance up until, like, the last 2 years.
All right.
Okay. Drifted off there a little bit, but...
We won't go any further. We won't go any further than that. All right. So, So, I guess I want you to tell me about, first of all, what is it that sparked you to do this? Like, why is it that you decided, you know what? I'm going to do this. And, you know, not the normal, like, you know, well, my friends dared me, so I'm going to do it. I'm talking like, this is a big deal. What made you decide to go in this direction?
Well, you know, there's a couple Netflix documentaries on what happens in the porn world, and I seen money, and I seen easy money at that. So, I mean, I took it. It was another way to rebel, because I always had to in some way. But it was a way to get money fast, have a good time while I was doing it, and free travel.
Did you?
What better can you get?
Well, it's certainly rebellious for you, for sure. You made this decision, and then had you been filming yourself or getting film, like just putting films on the internet before you decided to do this, or was really the first time you ever did this when you went out to Helix?
No, not at all. I mean, I had sent nudes to people before, but that's really as far as it went. But yeah, Helix was my first. It was my debut on the internet.
So tell me what was the very first film that you did, actually? Was it a solo, or was, I would assume you'd start with solos. Is that right, Keith, or no? Maybe it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, they all vary. Sooner or later, they'll do a solo. The solos help them get comfortable in front of the camera for the first time. But I believe Joey's was in an action scene with somebody. I don't remember who it was, but...
Joey?
My first person I filmed with, it wasn't the first one released, but the first person I filmed with was Justin Owen, I think. But the first time it came out, we did I think I actually filmed three scenes the first time it came out, or two scenes and a solo.
Tell me what the very first time they're like, okay, we're rolling. Like, how did you feel, like, right before that and right after? Like, what was that experience like for you?
It's definitely a nerve-wracking one, but I feel like once I got on set and was in the situation, I wasn't nearly as nervous as I thought I was going to be. It was a comfortable environment. They make the environment comfortable for you and everything, or else it's not going to work if they don't.
So, how do they
have much of an option.
How do they make it comfortable? Like, what did that mean for you?
It's just not. It's hard to explain. Yeah, there's not 25 people around you. You don't have somebody yelling cut. You know, it's just a very. Their goal is to get it all in one shot with no breaks, no anything, just pure chemistry there, film all the way through, and the only time they're going to stop is if they can't do that, or if there's something where somebody needs to break or something else happens. So,
yeah, that's what I was wondering. I mean, so they try not to, but it does happen that they say cut when you're in the middle of filming?
Normally they won't like yell cut at you. It'll just be like, okay, you know, like stop and take a break. But normally it's very rarely it's the directors that need to take the break. Most of the time it's one of the models. So you normally know when it's happening.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So, I mean, and I guess Bill wanted to know, like, how you prep right before the scene. Like, is there anything particularly that you do to get ready or to psych yourself up? Or, I mean, or do they put you with your partner, the person you're filming with, and you guys kind of talk for a little bit and kind of get into the groove beforehand? Like, how do you kind of get things ready to go, I guess?
Well, I mean, you really get to go through, like, you meet the models before you film with them, and, you know, whatever contact and conversations you want to have with them, you have, but I just completely blanked. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I was right. Talking about how you get comfortable get ready and get comfortable.
I mean, you do the whole shower thing. Everybody showers, shaves, get yourself in that situation so you can be presentable. But, I mean, mentally, I feel like, personally, I don't really need to do much. I mean, just maybe watch some porn, get in the mood. Other than that, that's about it.
Oh, they used to have fluffers, they called them. Does that still happen? Keith, do they have people that fluff? I'm not sure. And for those of you that don't know, maybe it's an old term from the 70s.
We might be showing our age.
Yeah, we might be showing our age. Keith, do you
know
what I'm talking about?
Yeah, be very careful there. You know, they've come out with wonderful blue pills that are much better than fluffers.
Ah, okay. All right. I have no idea what you're talking about. All right. So I can't imagine if I took one of those pills. You'd have to take me directly to the hospital.
4 hours later.
Wait 4 hours and then right. Take me to the hospital. All right. So, all right. So, what else was I? Oh, so Joey, has there ever been anybody that you were absolutely not attracted to in the least, but still needed to have a scene with?
I wouldn't say not attracted to in the least. I mean, there's definitely been some people that I've filmed scenes with that aren't my type, but nobody that I thought was gross or disgusting or anything of that sense.
So I think for me, and I think, you know how people that we project onto others. So for me, like I can't fool around with anybody that I'm not really attracted to. And I also can't fool around with somebody that I'm attracted to if there's anybody else in the room. But I think that's just me. I think that in your line of work, you kind of need to come in with a more open sort of a free attitude and ability around there, right? So, and maybe to a certain extent, would you consider yourself an exhibitionist, Joey? I would think that would be a nice part of the job, like get into being watched.
To an extent, I mean, I've never like gone out and done it in my personal life, but it doesn't bother me to have somebody else in the room there.
Right, right.
I just learned to, I guess, like, out of sight, out of mind.
Right, right. Now, so let's see. So The other thing I wanted to talk about was just the authenticity of the experience. And again, I might be projecting, and this, I mean, we could have a whole show on what sex is and whether or not it's a real, true, intimate connection, or is it just the act in itself? I think it can be both. Or, you know, you could be one time or one the others. But, I mean, it's like you can't fake an orgasm. I mean, at least a man can't fake it. I don't know. Keith may know a way. If he's doing the filming, he may have made it happen. But
We know nothing about faking it. No clue about what you're talking about.
So to me, when I can say this, but yeah. When I orgasm, I mean, to me, that is one of the most. I think that's probably the most vulnerable I ever am. And so I can't imagine being able to be that vulnerable. Now, it doesn't need to be with somebody that I know that well. But on the other hand, it's not good if it's in like a group of people that. And so I'm just wondering, like, I mean, do you feel like that's a vulnerable experience for you, Joey, when you're coming? Is that like is that vulnerable for you, or do you feel like this is just, it's, you don't really feel open and vulnerable during the experience? I guess I'll ask that. What do you think about this?
I could see how a lot of people would view it as being super vulnerable, mm-hmm. but me, I kind of learn while you're on set, you kind of can disassociate the sex with the feelings. But really, at the end of it, it's more of just a release of, I'm done, I get to go home, performance done. But that really, it just all comes down to how you perceive it in your mind. I don't know if you're going to take it in, because there's some people that come in that I filmed with where they are very emotional and very vulnerable during a scene. And I've been with people who are completely disassociated with the situation. So it really just depends on the person, I think.
What's better? What's more interesting for you? If the other person is more vulnerable, or I would think that would be more interesting.
I think when the other person is being more vulnerable, you have a lot more of a chance to get like the chemistry going. But if there's no chemistry there in the first place, then, I mean, yeah, it's hard to fake. But the audience, most of the audience always knows like what's real and what's fake, so.
Yeah, because I think you were telling me that the scenes that you do that seem to be the most popular are also the scenes that you felt like there was a lot of chemistry between the two of you, or the three or four, as the case may be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I was just thinking, Bill, like, well, what, I got to go to work today. I got the grind. Got to go in, have sex, get money.
I thought it was funny when he said, I get to go home now. Just like anybody else.
Exactly.
Shall we look for your application online here in a few minutes?
Well, I don't. I'm 53. Didn't I age out a while ago?
We need some daddies.
Oh, we are now. We're officially daddies.
Oh no! I will never. My partner, he will, because he's younger than me. But he will not. I will not let him call me that. I can't stand that. All right. Well, all right. So those of you who are just tuning in, you are listening to Alternative Perspectives. I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and we are speaking about the gay porn industry today with the owner of Helix Studios, Keith Miller, and one of his star models, Joey Mills. And we will be right back. We have a little bit of another little thing we have to play. We will be right back. All right. And we are back. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Alternative Perspectives, and I am Greg Bossen. I'm your host, and we're speaking, blah, blah, blah. We're speaking about the porn industry, gay porn industry in particular, with the owner of Helix Studios, Keith Miller, and one of his star models, Joey Mills. So we just have a little bit left, and it's amazing how quickly time flies on this thing, just have a little bit of time left, another 10 or 15 minutes or so. And what I want to do is I'm going to stick with you, Joey, for a second. There's a couple of more questions I want to ask you. So I want to talk about the effects on your personal life. So I guess I'm interested in what happens with your personal, this is really personal, by the way, but what happens with your personal sex life when you have sex on film like that? How does it differ, or does it differ, or do you have a lot of sex off film? Maybe you don't as much. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, it definitely changes it a little bit with people who know who you are before you're hooking up with them. Definitely, you know that they have some expectations for you, so that can kind of ruin it. But all alone, like, I probably stopped having sex as much. But altogether, I don't really think it affected me that much personally.
So, I mean, have you been dating anybody that, I mean, well, this is real personal. Are you in a, do you want it? I don't, maybe he doesn't want people to know if he's in a relationship. I don't think I'm even going to ask you that. Unless you want
I was in a relationship for a while, but not anymore.
Ah, okay. All right. And then the other thing is, how does your personal friends, your friends, so basically, like, before you left St. Louis or before you engaged in this, obviously you had a group of friends, but now I think you have different friends, right? And I'm just wondering, does it feel like you kind of have two separate lives in a way? Like you have your friends that you know from your work, and then you have your friends from before, I guess? What do you...
It can definitely feel like that sometimes, like you're living a double life. I tell people I'm like Hannah Montana sometimes, but it's definitely something where you just have to mediate between it. Like, since I moved to Vegas, where the studio is, my friend group definitely changed from who I had back home. But I don't separate my personal life from my porn life very much, so a lot of it's integrated. But especially if you're somebody who is trying to do that, it's really hard to keep them separated.
Yeah.
But I think I've integrated mine together pretty well.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your parents. I know you were telling me before that they've been actually pretty supportive, right?
Yes, they've been very supportive. When I actually told them I was going to do porn, they didn't really care. But I found out later that my mom actually didn't believe me until the day I asked her to take me to the airport. She thought that I was lying to her. But, I mean, they've flown across the country multiple times to come see me at award shows and be there to support me. So I really couldn't ask for anything better.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have three sisters, all older.
Ah, okay. And so you come, I mean, you move there, but I mean, so you have kind of a big family then. Just y'all are all together for Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that kind of stuff, just like any other family, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make sure to fly home and everything for the holidays.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you can't really... you can't type Joey Mills into a Google search and not immediately know exactly what you do. So I would imagine even distant relatives, you know, the aunt or the cousin or something like that, or second cousin would know. So is there any stories around that?
Oh, yeah, they all know. My grandparents know. My grandparents vote for me during the award season.
What?
So, yeah, there's nothing to hide. My entire family knows. I think the only ones that don't know are the cousins that are below middle school, because anybody that's above that has been told by people in their high school what I do.
But no one has ever given you any issue in your family. You've not gotten any sort of judgment or anything like that.
No, really. I was very surprised, honestly. I knew that I wasn't going to be disowned or anything, but I definitely thought there would be some people that frowned upon it. I mean, there's some people who definitely chose that it wouldn't be their first career choice for their child or for anybody in your family, but they're happy that I do it well and that I'm safe.
Oh, yeah, I meant to ask that. So what's the story on that? Everybody's on PrEP and everybody gets tested every day or something? Like, how does that work?
people are generally tested. People are tested before their scenes, for our studio at least. People are cleared before their scenes, and after that, they can go on film. So, I mean, there's precautions taken.
Okay. Well, I mean, the test is, I think you can really, they say to wait 6 weeks, but in reality, you can find out probably after 2 or 3 weeks, I think. Keith, do you know about this? I would assume you do.
Well, I mean, I'm not an expert on those things, but we work with the industry standard testing panels and testing companies whose job it is to know all that.
Right.
And, you know, whatever the medical doctors clear for performance, then we go, you know. you know, in reality, the Boxing Commission has to have a medical field being cleared before fights as well. So, you know, we do our best to follow every guideline that the experts tell us is makes it safe for our performers.
Yeah, definitely. So, thank you guys so much, both of you. There's just a couple more things that I wanna know. First of all, what do people do after they retire? Because I think you said at least at Helix it stops at 25, correct?
Well, that's the remember, this has been a long, slow ride, and so no one seems to ever be aging out. That was something everyone said back when I started this a lot long ago. They would, but I recently had models that filmed for me for 3 or 4 years when they were 18. They took a break, came back last year, 2 years later, and they're still filming. And they're 26, 27, 28 now. And the fans and the audience love them. So I don't know that we're going to age out or we're going to end up seeing that. When a star has a following, that following stays with them. And as they age, he ages. And it's just like watching someone grow up on, you know, the regular channels as they move through their career. This is the same way. The fans will want to love them always, no matter what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, for me, and I mean, I don't know that everybody's like this, but if I'm attracted to someone, I remain attracted to them. I really do. You know, somebody that I saw in my 20s, you know, when I was first coming out, you know, now I'm 53 and I still see them. And I still see them the way that I saw them. You know, I still see them the way that I saw them years ago, even though they may have changed. So
yeah, we grow up differently with each other, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So what, Joey, this is a deep question. I didn't even think I told you I was going to ask you that. What would you say is what have you learned from your experience thus far doing this outside of the sex part? What is it that you've gained or learned about yourself or about the world or anything? Because you're still kind of growing up. So tell me what you feel like you've learned from this.
Honestly, I've gotten a lot of confidence from it. You know, seeing yourself naked in the mirror and not liking it, and then putting yourself naked on the internet and millions of people love it, kind of gives you a little bit of a confidence boost there. But just an idea of how to handle business on your own and how to take care of yourself and just how to figure everything out and do it on your own, I guess.
Yeah, because you're kind of living on your own for the first time then, I guess, right?
Yeah, I moved out. Well, I moved out of my parents' house when I was 16, but I actually, like, moved away, like, away from my hometown this past year.
Ah, okay. All right. You know, it's funny, Joe, I'll just tell you about St. Louis and Bill. I visited St. Louis. I taught a seminar there once. And the Arch, mm-hmm. Have you ever been up to the top of that thing, Joey?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course,
so if you go up to the top of that arch, they have pictures of what the city skyline looked like in 1960 or 65 or something like that. And then they have windows right next. You can look out and see the skyline now and compare it to the pictures. Looks pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah, not much has changed. Maybe 3 or 4 buildings went up.
It's hilarious. But anyway, all right. And then the last thing, I'll leave you with the last word, Keith. So what do you think is next? What do you see the future of the porn industry going? And how do you plan to address that, I guess? With 3D porn, are we lucky? You know, where are we going with pornography, do you think?
Well, I think 3D has already been tried by several companies, and it doesn't turn out to be the biggest thing, and most people didn't like it. Virtual reality porn gets people sick, and it's not really very exciting. I'm looking forward to is the personalization of some things. Like, for example, the ability to make dolls these days has gotten to the point where they can virtually mimic an individual. You know, how much is it that I can sell a Joey Mills doll, for example, online? We're, you know, the potential revenue there for the model, the potential revenue for the studios and all the rest of it creates a whole different level of experience. You know, it doesn't have to be that. That's technology advancing. When you've got the ability for a hologram or something to put Joey Mills' image in there for a payment, that you could interact with him in some hologram experience. That's the future. You know, the industry seems to have gone from a period of years ago there were some stars, and then it all became homogenized into cheap porn, and now it's starting to break out into classes and levels again, where you've got the, you know, the high end models that get all the attention and get all the big stuff. It's all coming back now. So models like Joey and other of our guys that you know have huge followings and are able to relate to the audience. I think the future is very bright for them with all the new personalization and social media influencing that we can do now, and working with them. The industry is looking really good for the stars.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it. Thank you very much, Joey and Keith. This has been very, very cool. So I appreciate you, and thank you much. I hope you enjoyed it.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, what'd you think of that?
That was interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Well, and that is it for us. Next up,
Americana Pie.
Americana Pie. So we will have a little music to take us out, and then we'll be right back with Americana Pie. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Alternative Perspectives.